On a Tuesday, I'd like to call to order the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, April 2nd. And we have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Martin?
Here.
Commissioner Shiro?
Here.
Commissioner Maravilla?
Here.
Commissioner Montez?
Here.
And Commissioner Sage?
Here.
Please stand and join me in the salute to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a light agenda tonight, but I'm wondering, under agenda review, are there any amendments or changes that anyone would like to make to the agenda for tonight?
Thank you.
Not for me.
I'm seeing none. We'll can carry on. Before we get into the main body of the meeting, this is the time at the Planning Commission meeting every other week when we invite members of the community to come up and make any kind of public comments on items that are not on tonight's agenda. So we are inviting those people to present those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission, and as a reminder, the Brown Act restricts the commission from taking any formal action on matters not published on the agenda. Does anyone from the public wish to speak, come up to the microphone and make any kind of comments for an item not on tonight's agenda? Seeing none, we will close public comment at this point in time and proceed on. Any other written communications that we need to be aware of, Mr. Downing?
None this evening.
Very good. Thank you very much. We have one item on the consent agenda, that is the approval of the meetings, of the approval of the meeting minutes from the last meeting. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any comments or discussion on this item? Seeing none, I'll just take a voice vote, if that's okay on this. Can we, all in favor, say aye?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes unanimously. The next item we have is a public hearing item, is a consideration of amended conditional use permit, 19001, and some amendments to conditional use permits, 18004, subdivision of approved tenant spaces, and addition of 5,400 square foot garden center, and an 1,800 square foot commercial drive-through pad at 1570 West Branch Street. And as the commercial property manager for that particular project, I need to recuse myself from this particular item, and I'm happy to turn the gavel over, as imaginary as that gavel may be right now, but turn the responsibilities over to Mr. Shiro.
No gavel?
No gavel. You're on your own.
You did it on purpose. You don't trust me with that thing here. All right, Mr. Downing, do you have a staff report for us, please?
Yes, thank you, Vice Chair Shiro, members of the commission, Matt Downing, your planning manager. This evening, your commission is looking at amended conditional use permit 19-001, located in the Oak Park Plaza, applied for by Rick Gambrell. Now, I know what you're probably thinking, haven't we seen this project before? Yes, you have. We've seen it a couple of different times, but just to reorient ourselves and the public to where we're talking about, here's an image of the project site. It's zoned regional commercial, located on West Branch Street in the Oak Park Plaza, the home of the former Kmart. Surrounding land uses of the site include, obviously, the remainder of the plaza, a number of commercial uses, a restaurant, hotel, and open space. Now, as for the background, the Oak Park Plaza currently consists of five individual parcels developed back in the '70s and '80s, with reciprocal parking and access across the entire site between all of the owners. And the Planning Commission approved conditional use permit 18-004 in September of 2018. That project itself entitled several things. It entitled the expansion of the building by about 4,500 square feet. That was the former Home and Garden Center for Kmart. established a fitness facility, open 24 hours, being about 16,500 square feet. Establishing a grocer, selling beer, wine, and distilled spirits at about 20,000 square feet, 20,500. And the remaining retail space, about 50,000 square feet, along with a major facade renovation to the existing building. Tonight's proposed amendment to that project includes all of those items, but additionally includes expanding the commercial area another 5,400 square feet for a new garden center and establishing a hardware store just under 21,000 square feet. The grocer is proposed to be expanded slightly to about 23,000 square feet, establishing a 7,000 square foot dance studio at the rear of the building. And then splitting up the remaining retail space into two spaces of about 10,000 square feet and about 6,600 square feet. Lastly, the applicant's proposing to entitle that commercial parcel, with a commercial building pad for a drive-through use, with the building being 1,800 square feet. And I definitely put in the wrong image there. So that doesn't help us. Oh, okay, so that's why I did that. This is what the previous conditional use permit approved. This is the area of the building, the former Home and Garden Center, that was proposed to be filled in with building. And then this is the current proposal. So essentially leaving that same building fill-in, so the total commercial building will be about 87,000 square feet. Expanding the new Home and Garden Center off to the west northwest, as you can see, comparing that to the current approved condition here, filling that in, reconfiguring the circulation pattern, establishing the hardware store, the fitness facility, the grocery store, the dance studio tenant space back in the back, the two remaining retail spaces, and then having the drive-through building up closer to West Branch Street. Now, the general plan for this property is designated for regional commercial land uses. Staff went through the general plan and found the project to be consistent with four of those elements, four of those policy items. I've listed them out here. They're also listed in your staff report. I won't read through them, but they're here in case we need to go back and look at them. With regard to the development code, the property, as I mentioned, is zoned regional commercial. The purpose of this zoning district is to provide for a diversity of commercial uses that serve both a community and a regional need for retail and personal services within distinctive and internally pedestrian-oriented shopping centers. And in terms of development code requirements, site development standards, the existing property and the proposed project, the proposed amended project, do meet all of the municipal code requirements for the regional commercial district. One thing, since we had previously approved uses and we're looking at expansion of uses and a multitude of different things, I included in your staff report and kind of wanted to run through this table here this evening, where we have all of basically that entire project broken down into a table, where we're talking about the hardware store, which is a permitted use in the regional commercial district and could be established separately regardless of tonight's outcome. The garden center, which in our municipal code, our use table is defined as outdoor retail sales and activities. That requires a conditional use permit, so that's under consideration this evening. The grocery store was previously approved, and the small, slight expansion of that is under consideration this evening. The dance studio has the minor use permit and pedestrian designation. So typically it would only require a minor use permit, a director level approval to establish a dance studio. The PED designation does prohibit it within prime real estate areas of shopping centers. However, in staff's review of the project, we believe that the location of the dance studio at the rear of the building addresses this, so we don't want it front and center, taking up the prime retail space, but in the back, where the applicant has stated these, the building is so deep that it's hard for retail tenants to fill those spaces. And so coming in with something that shortens those spaces up will make the retail uses easier to lease. And it also adds kind of a symbiotic use to that entire center. The fitness facility, as I mentioned, has already been approved. The new commercial building pad is under consideration this evening with the amended conditional use permit, as well as the drive-through in conjunction with that. Now let's talk about the drive-through commercial building real quick. So drive-throughs are permitted in the Regional Commercial Zoning District. The applicant has no user currently identified for that building, but the underlying land use is what we're looking at this evening and approving that land use for this site. The drive-through itself of that building would be accessed via the existing two-way drive aisle right there. It would require some modification to the adjacent drive aisles, some of the adjacent one-way drive aisles. Originally, when the proposal came in, staff looked at it, and we would have preferred for the building to be brought forward toward West Branch Street to give you more street presence. But given the circulation patterns and the existing drive aisles, we couldn't figure out how to make that work. And so actually the location, we're supportive of the location given the existing circulation patterns in the site. And then the final design of the building would then is conditioned to be reviewed by a minor use permit, an architectural review, and would require an architectural review committee recommendation to the community development director. This we anticipate the architectural design of the building to be consistent with the design of the modified primary building. But we don't have that at this time, which is why we have that process in our code to bring that back to the city at a future date. So that would be reviewed by the ARC, approved by the community development director, and reported on your list of administrative decisions. So here's what that looks like. As I mentioned, the drive aisle would take primary access from this two-way drive aisle coming from West Branch Street. Would wrap around the building, has enough queuing for 8 cars, which is required by the municipal code. All of the ordering would then take place, in this area. It does add parking, some parking back, which we'll cover in a few minutes, and has the additional pedestrian connection from the public way to the front of that building. Now, in terms of circulation and loading for the proposed amendment this evening, the previous loading dock is proposed to remain in use for the grocery use. In your staff report, you'll note that I call out on the architectural elevations. It's not shown. It will still be there. They'll do all the modifications behind it, but that dock is not going anywhere. It will remain. The Architecture Review Committee identified the Garden Center loading to be an area that they said needed to be addressed further prior to it coming to you this evening, and so that's what the applicant has done. They've demonstrated that they would provide rear loading product for the actual Garden Center itself and have a customer pickup location in the front of the Garden Center. Very similar to an existing big box home improvement store in San Luis Obispo, where you do have some area up front to access for customers, but you often have them carting their goods to their vehicles in the parking lot. I did want to point out that the project is conditioned to demonstrate appropriate fire apparatus access. That's condition number 38. As well as do not adversely impact on-site circulation or emergency access. That's condition 66. So those two things we anticipate coming in with the building permits for this project, showing that our largest Five Cities Fire Authority vehicle can navigate that site and all the design can accommodate all of the turning movements that they need to make. And there might be some refinement that the applicant has to make in order to accomplish that, but we believe we can work through that, as that will be reviewed by both the Building and Life Safety Division and the Engineering Division. Building Life Safety also has our building official who works with the Five Cities Fire Authority, so while Five Cities Fire Authority doesn't directly review our plans, they have a representative reviewing their plans for them. And planning will also be looking at the plans to make sure all the municipal code requirements are also met. So here's what that looks like. Here's the rear delivery gate location for the garden center. So essentially a delivery truck could pull up, back in, and then offload their wares into the garden center. Also, one space would be available for a customer to, if need be, to pull up and load their goods. But as I mentioned previously, customers can still exit the garden center and then move to some of the parking spaces to actually load their vehicles. Now, in terms of architecture, we do have the color and material board up against the wall behind Commissioner Marvilla, if you'd like to take a look at that. But here's what all of the new tenants proposed would be doing to essentially this previously approved architecture. They're definitely modernizing it, bringing it up with instead of one solid theme across the entire thing, breaking up all that massing with different colors and materials. This is the former Home and Garden Center for Kmart, which, as I mentioned previously, would be filled in, and with the new garden center off to the west. Back in the back, this is the view of the new dance studio tenant entrance. And so the rest of the wall would remain the stucco, but this would be highlighted. They do also show an area for anticipated child drop-off and pickup, which is a good thing. We don't anticipate a ton of traffic back in that back section, but it's always a good idea to have that location there. And then here's the front of the building. I did not include a rendering of the previous facade, but essentially what it did was it took that full width and broke it into three tenant spaces. What this is now doing is breaking it up even further and adding that extra interest so that we're seeing even less of the full, I don't want to use the word monotonous because that, I don't want to come off negatively, but for lack of a better word, monotonous wall plane. That was something that the Architecture Review Committee looked at. They liked the additional tenant entrances and breaking those planes up even further. The applicant will still have much more fenestration, window fenestration than we had previously. Fenestration is one of my favorite words, so I get to use it as much as I can. But essentially, we're talking about all the window openings. It adds more interest to the building instead of having it be so stark. So this is what that looks like head-on, as I mentioned, with the five tenant entrances on the front of the building, the one tenant entrance on the rear of the building, and then I threw in the side elevations as well, including the entrance into the pedestrian or the customer connection to the rear of these two retail spaces as well as to the dance studio. Now, switching to parking, looking first at the proposed project and all of the things that we have going on in the proposal this evening, I've broken down in your staff report the different requirements per tenant space and any interesting notes associated with it. But all of that, all eight rows of this table basically come down to, for the proposed project in front of you this evening, a parking requirement of 348 spaces. Because it's in a plaza, we have to look at, you're going to have more than those uses proposed this evening utilizing that space. Those have not changed from the last time the Planning Commission looked at it, but being that we've changed this number up here, all of the required parking for the entire plaza comes to this grand total of 569 spaces. Now, the proposed project does remove parking in for a net parking loss of 42 spaces. So that includes the three spaces where the garden center is proposed, as well as right here. This is included in your packet as an attachment. I recognize that the black and white copy of it, you probably couldn't read so well. So I'm hoping the commission took a look at the digital copy of that online. But I also put it up here. These are the spaces that the applicant has identified as being lost with the drive-through project. You can total those up and recognize that that alone comes to 46 spaces, but the reason it's only a 42 net is because they are adding additional spaces back in front of that drive-through building. These additional spaces right here. So for the plaza for this project, we're losing 42 spaces, and the entire plaza is providing 495 spaces. So 569 required, 495 provided. The municipal code allows up to 20% of a reduction in required parking for mixes of uses. It was previously approved at 7%. Tonight's project would still be within that 20% allowance up to the 13% reduction this evening if the Planning Commission moves forward with the project this evening. Now, with regard to trees and landscaping, the previous landscape and tree replacement plan has already been approved. The additional drive-through pad will modify some of those tree locations. What were previously either there or proposed to be there will now need to be modified. So we're removing five of the trees that were previously proposed or installed and replacing with 11 new trees. So we're actually coming out with six additional trees than we went in with. I did note that this will meet the municipal code requirement of one tree per five parking spaces for the site. And then a note that the landscaping for the drive-through portion of this project will be reviewed with the minor use permit at a later date, and that all of the landscaping previously proposed on the front of the primary building, that the former Kmart building, will remain. It might be shifted around slightly depending on where the shopping cart return areas are that are covered with a trellis and vines. So some of that will shift around, but we're not losing the vegetation in front of the building completely. So that's what the original approval looked like. Some of the additional trees down in this area trying to break up that massing of the parking lot. And I didn't include anything else because we don't have the updated landscape plan. But looking again, if we were to go back and look at the site plan for the drive-through use, we would see additional trees in that location. So we'll continue to monitor that as the building plans come forward and make sure it remains consistent with the requirements of the municipal code moving forward. Now, signage. I have received some questions from the commission this afternoon about the signage, because obviously in the staff report it says signage is not proposed to be modified at this time. That was the last action the commission took. You approved the master sign plan and a monument sign at 20 feet tall. The applicant included additional renderings for you this evening, kind of what they're envisioning, assuming the amended conditional use permit moves forward. Part of their justification for increasing that monument sign is actually based on previous public comment we received during the master sign plan consideration, where someone says, well, why don't you match this new monument sign with the monument sign that's over here next to the bank. So they went out, they measured it, the existing sign's 32 feet, so they're proposing 32 feet or will potentially be proposing 32 feet depending on how the project moves forward. So they have shown kind of what they're thinking about doing. It is not formally under consideration this evening, so we don't have to worry about taking action on signage tonight. That would come back at a later date. We would formally make that amendment if the applicant does propose that. However, if the commission in your review want to make preliminary comments, non-binding comments of it seems generally agreeable or I don't foresee us recommending that, I believe the applicant is open to hearing those suggestive comments, but no official action is being taken on signage this evening. In terms of advisory committee reviews for the amended project, the staff advisory committee, again, that's representatives from planning, building, engineering, public works, Five Cities Fire Authority, and the police department reviewed the project back in the beginning of March. We discussed several items, including the revised site circulation. which, as I mentioned previously, we were looking at whether or not we thought we could bring the building closer to the street, and determined that given the limitations of the site, probably it's located in the best spot possible. We talked about pedestrian circulation on site, as well as the drive-through use itself, and these members of the staff advisory committee were in support of the project. The architectural review committee reviewed the project on March 18th. They looked at the new drive-through. They talked about their role in reviewing the future architecture of that building when it does come in. The fact that the new building does break up that massive expanse of just the sea of parking. The increased visual interest of the primary commercial building, as I mentioned, going from the 3 tenant spaces to the 5 tenant spaces up front. And then the item of where people can pick up their garden center product and where those deliveries are going to be made. But they ultimately unanimously supported and recommended approval of the project with those additional two additional conditions that are in your resolution this evening. In terms of environmental review, we looked at this in accordance with the California Environmental Quality Act, determined that the project's exempt per section, per three different sections. So section 15301E2, 15303C, and 15332 of the CEQA guidelines. So that's existing facilities, new construction, and infill development projects. So this being an existing shopping center where this is the type of use you would anticipate, and it's exempt from further CEQA review. In terms of public notification for tonight's meeting, all the standard notification procedures were followed. Property owners were all notified within 300 feet of the site, published in the Tribune, posted at City Hall, and on the city's website. The agenda and staff report were posted in accordance with the government code, and we have not received any public correspondence to date. All right, and that concludes staff's presentation. I'm more than happy to answer any questions that the commission has. The applicant and their team is here this evening as well, so if I need to defer to them, I will do so.
Okay. Commissioner Maraviglia, you have questions?
I guess I had a question for the applicant, if that's okay.
Let's just go through, let's run through Matt first, then we'll bring them up.
Okay. And I have nothing for you, Matt. Okay. It was a well done report. Thank you.
Commissioner Sage, question for staff?
Let's see. Matt, can you clarify on the garden center for, thank you.
I keep forgetting the on off button, sort of like my TV. On the garden center at the delivery gate in the back, and I see that we noticed that the delivery vehicles would be expected to come up back into the loading area. Now, it seems to me that that's very close to the very end of the building. Would we anticipate that there would be any type of traffic flow behind the building where that might cause a interference with the truck trying to go up back in, as well as traffic coming around? Is there space for that?
Let me see if I can get to a better... Okay, so here's the location of where that garden center loading dock essentially would be. So there... It's near that corner, but it's still pretty far away. In looking at it with the staff advisory committee, we weren't terribly concerned about that at the time, because we anticipate deliveries being early in the day prior to the site really getting up and running, so to speak. And there's also enough get my mouse to work parking spaces in this location where the delivery truck could, if it's a larger truck, park over there, offload, and cart the products into the back of the garden center. So at this point in time, not terribly concerned, but engineering staff will be checking all the site distances to ensure that the adequate drive aisle widths are being met.
Right. Okay. And then going to the front of the garden center, I noticed that the the site for the customer pickup, looks like that's been somewhat established with a little cutout, but it causes me to look at that and see that the vehicle would pull up in the one direction, and how many vehicles could be in queue in that area?
From my knowledge, one.
Just one.
But okay. If I'm incorrect,
and so that vehicle would need to load the materials back up and then come pull back out into the traffic lane?
Correct. So they would essentially have to back up and either pull around the building or back up around that curve and then pull down down that drive aisle.
But now, all right, that brought up a different issue then. If they were to go around the building, will there be an exit for them going around the building?
Yes, there is. So with the reciprocal access agreements, that doesn't zoom out far enough. So it would be the long way around, absolutely.
Yeah.
But there is an access exit point back here if they were to go all the way around the building.
Okay. All right, so you don't think that they would just try to do a U-turn and come right back out the front?
They might. So essentially the customer loading area would be approximately right here. So they might end up backing up and then turning around, or they might back out, pull into a parking space, and then essentially make a six-point turn, so to speak.
And sort of familiar with that site because for years we've had a Goodwill truck there, which has been very, very handy for the community to drop off things. Are there any accommodations for that vehicle?
I would defer that to the applicant.
Okay. And then the other thing I noticed is with the dance studio behind the building, in counting the parking spaces, it appears that the parking over there was actually part of the plaza, but not part of this project, per se.
So so let's run back to the parking real quick. So the dance studio requirements are 20 spaces total. So there is an assumption of up to 50 students per class, or 50 students at one time at the max capacity, and three staff. So that total is based on the municipal code 20 required parking spaces. That is, so going back to what I believe your point is, the immediately adjacent parking area is not on their site. It's off site,
yeah,
but still within the plaza, which has the reciprocal parking as well.
Okay.
So we don't foresee an issue with that at this time.
Okay, and then the access to that point would be via that separate roadway.
Correct.
That comes in. So that would be how the dance studio
Correct.
Attendees would get in and out. Okay. Let's see, and then I think that's well, it does come back to a point that I guess isn't really on our agenda for tonight, but it's the signage direction for the dance studio and how that would be set up so that people can find it.
Yeah, certainly. So there would need to be some amount of directional signage and to ensure it. As we heard during the original consideration of the conditional use permit and the former plan sign program, when the applicant was proposing a 50-foot tall freeway sign, some of the members of the public said that use is not the kind of use that you're going to be expecting, or not the dance studio, sorry. Some of those uses are not the type of uses that you're going to be expecting to pull people from the freeway on. They're going to know it's there, and they're going to know how to get there. So there is some of that, but in order to ensure that the dance studio is successful, likely the operator and the landlord will need to work together to get some amount of directional signage worked out, and we would review that at a later date.
Okay. That's all the questions I have. Thank you.
Commissioner Montes?
Thank you. I have no questions regarding the recommended action tonight. I spoke with Mr. Downing earlier, and he answered any questions I had, but I did want to express my support in the proposed updated signage for the plaza.
I think the more consistency within the plaza overall, the better. And out of curiosity, has there been any talk about the rest of the plaza being updated to match what's being proposed tonight?
Yeah, so we've obviously talked to the current applicant, and the current applicant is actually buying the property from the former applicant. So we've all, throughout this entire project, we've been talking to them about, hey, you're going to be the new standard. We really would like the rest of the shopping center to be brought up to date. And if you can work with the adjacent property owners to try and, where you can, do it simultaneously to save costs for both of you, it might be the best way to do it. So live on TV, we continue to encourage the property owners to work together.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Would the applicant like to come up and speak? Wait, Mr. Downing, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. The 569 number, so is for as far as parking, is that when you take the densest use of all the different uses in there, is that how we arrive at that number originally? Or are they sectioned out one space at a time?
So they are...
Based on their use?
They're sectioned out based on their current uses.
Okay.
So, for instance, there is the existing restaurant on a adjacent parcel that in and of itself requires the 1 per 100. Based on the size of that restaurant, of the size of the publicly accessible area, that's how we derive the existing parking requirements. Mm-hmm. And however the new proposal adds or subtracts to that is ultimately how we come to that 569 total.
Okay, so just to go through the process, if a retail spot were to become a restaurant, you know, a lot of times an applicant doesn't have everything leased out yet or know exactly that, how would that number be reconfigured? And then would the applicant be required to come up with those spots if it was a positive ad where they had to add spots? Maybe explain that.
Certainly. So let's, this is what I wanted to go back to. So anytime, let's say let's say the 6,000 square foot retail space, they get a new restaurant in it. What we would do is take that layout. So 6,000, currently it's parked at one space per 250 square feet of gross floor area. So one, whatever that calculates out to, I can't do that math off the top of my head. But if they come in and propose a restaurant, what we do is take a look at that site plan through whatever land use entitlement they need to do. If it's a minor use permit, we take a look at it at the staff level, and the director ultimately makes the determination on it. If it's a permitted use and it's through the building permit process, we take a look at it then. And how they lay everything out is how we then turn around and calculate the parking required. So on a 6,000 square foot building, you're looking at 24 spaces or so required for that at 1 per 250, 4 per 1,000. A restaurant taking up that same space might only have 3,000 square feet available to the public, but it's now at one space per 100 of those feet, so now we're looking at 30. So on a site like this, it might be that the requirement goes up, and so therefore that differential goes skewed, so we actually required more of a parking reduction allowed. The last time we looked at this, the commission brought up some of the other things on the interior of the site, such as trash enclosures or cart corrals that might impact the total available parking spaces. The commission at that time said, we're okay with the parking reduction, we're okay if that goes up to accommodate that, we just want to know what that is. So a project like this, if things change over time and we get from a 13% proposed this evening to like a 14%, that is kind of in the realm of a substantial conformance. But if it gets into now we're at 18% reduction or 19% reduction, likely staff would then have to evaluate whether or not we require to bring that back or have discussions with the applicant. Hey, you're getting up there. You might need to reconfigure some of these, how you're laying your space out, to bring your parking requirement down in order to fit within the guidelines previously approved.
Okay, and then the other option that the applicant would have, if it went way over that number, they could pay an in-lieu fee, is that correct?
In this area, that is actually not correct.
No.
The only place in the city that we have an in-lieu fee available is in the village. So there, they would have to either meet the parking requirements, stay within those guidelines, or
shrink the size of the...
Yeah, modify their use.
Okay, that's all the questions I have. Would the applicant like to come up and speak?
Good evening. My name is Pam Ritchie, and I'm a planner with RRM Design Group, representing the applicant for the amendments to the use permit before you tonight. And if I look familiar to you, it's because I've been here before. This is the third meeting where I've been representing the applicant related to entitlements to create additional tenant spaces in the old Kmart building. And tonight, I'm representing Rick Gambrell, who's in the process of purchasing the property from the current property owner, who's also in the audience, Peter Rodre. And Rick has applied for the use permit to divide the existing building into six separate tenant spaces, as well as to add the additional pad building in the center of the parking lot with the drive-through. So we went to the ARC a couple weeks ago, and they supported the revised project plans. As Matt indicated in his presentation, they really liked that the additional building entries added interest and articulation to the building facade. They supported the building pad because it adds economic vitality to the shopping center, as well as Matt also quoted from the chair of the ARC, minimizes the vast sea of parking. And so related to parking, they also supported even with the loss of the parking spaces, the 13% reduction, because they felt that the offset hours of the different uses, the existing parking or the proposed parking would accommodate that mix. So the project team agrees with the staff report, and we're good with all the revised conditions. And Matt did such a thorough job of reviewing all the elements of the current plans, including the proposed sign change, where we'd be going to try to match the sign to the south at the 32 feet and have multiple tenant faces on the sign for the proposed tenants in the project. So we'd really like to hear from you tonight about whether you agree with the added height for the sign, and if you have any other comments about the design, because we realize you can't act on it tonight, but that would be helpful for when we return to you in the near future, hopefully. And so, as I mentioned, the project applicant, property owner, project architect, and the leasing agent are all here in the audience tonight. So if you have any other questions, I'll try to answer them or defer to one of the other members of the team.
Okay, great. Thank you. Commissioner Sage, would you like to start for questions of the applicant?
Yes, actually, I'm going to come right back to my Goodwill truck. I need to know where I can take my old clothes now. So are there going to be accommodations made, or is that basically that Goodwill truck gone?
And I may defer to the applicant or leasing agent to answer that directly. It did come up at the ARC meeting, and I know there's going to be some accommodations made. I don't know specifically what they are, though.
Okay, so there will be some accommodations for a drop-off function?
Right. I'm not sure if that will be on site or at another location.
Okay.
I just don't know the answer to that. So,
right.
But somebody else from the team may know the answer.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
That's the only question I have for the applicant.
Mr. Montes?
Regarding Goodwill, I know that there's a Goodwill drop-off point just across or down the road at the old Osh Shopping Center. So That's where I go. We talked about, or we mentioned the shopping cart corral. Do you know where the shopping cart corrals would be within the parking lot?
I believe they're delineated on that. I'll let the architect come up and answer that question.
All right. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Pat Blody. I'm architect with RM Design Group and happy to answer questions about the site design. We have two types of cart storage. If you can look at this site plan that Matt has up here, there's trellised areas in two locations adjacent to tenant C and also in between tenant A and B, and those would be cart storage areas for the retailers. In addition to that cart storage, oh, there we go. So these little squiggly lines represent trellises, shade trellises with vines that will help conceal the cart storage on the building frontage.
Okay.
We've also identified, I think there's three or four areas for cart corrals within the parking stalls.
Okay. Do you know if they're only in the front of the aisles, or is there one?
They are in the front of the parking stalls.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you. That's it for me. Thank you.
Commissioner Marvilli.
Hi. It's probably for not the architect. Sorry, I don't remember everyone's names. I'm terrible at that.
For Pam Ritchie?
Pam Ritchie, I think. I was just kind of curious. I think the facade looks great. I love the idea of breaking it up even more. Can I ask why the modifications were made? Was it just the new owner coming in and looking to see what tenants might be interested in the building, or?
Well, with both applicants, they're still in the process of negotiating leases and contracts with them. So that's why we haven't specifically divulged any of those. We know we've given generic types.
Right.
And some negotiations are further along than others.
So there is kind of tenants in mind for each of these places. So this might not, hopefully this will not change again.
For a majority of the spaces, there's tenants in mind. And we're not anticipating changes. But the two retailers that were created in the larger space on the south side are still available. And we don't have specific tenants in mind.
Okay.
And if I'm not accurate about that. One of the other members of the team can respond
They're
to it.
Nodding their heads.
That's good.
That's good.
Yeah, and I go along with Commissioner Montes with the signage. I think that's absolutely appropriate.
Great. Were there any other questions or?
I have none. So I think we're good. I think we'll open it up to the public. Would anybody from the public like to speak on this item?
Hi, good evening, and thank you for allowing me to speak. My name's Kathy Schultz. I am the owner of Coastal Dance and Music Academy, and we are the potential dance studio, but we also teach theater too. So
nice.
Anyway, we have a show coming up this weekend too. I'm going to plug it right now. It's West Side Story at the Spanos Theater.
Nice.
Anyway, we are super excited, of course, about this possibility for our Performing Arts Academy. When we moved out of my garage, our first building was in Arroyo Grande, and we outgrew that, and then we moved to where we are now. But we very much want to get back to Arroyo Grande, so we really encourage you to hopefully approve this project, because we are excited, and we know we provide a wonderful opportunity for youth in our community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? All right, seeing no one else, that'll close public comment. And let's move on. Are there any additional questions of staff that have come up? No? Okay.
I do have a question for Mr. Downing. Is it within our purview to possibly request that the applicant consider adding
another shopping cart corral within the parking lot, or is that something that's already been approved and we can't ask for that at this time?
Well, I will point out, great question, that there is a shopping cart corral down here in the lower portion of the site as well. Originally, there was one. There's one identified here. There was another one, I believe, up here somewhere, and then one in this location and one in this location. This one obviously has been removed because of the proposed drive-through pad. There is one down here. We do have standards in our code for amount of cart storage and that type of thing. Likely, I imagine one additional for a grand total of three would be required. But if you would like to encourage that, I believe that's within your purview, yes.
Okay, thank you. I would like to encourage that. I just, you know, going to shopping centers nearby, it's just a pet peeve sometimes to have the shopping corral just in the front, and that's why a lot of people just leave their shopping carts in the parking lot, and those parking spaces are taken up by the shopping carts, and then you risk your car getting dinged because people are careless or it gets windy. So that's my only comment and encouragement for this project. Thank you.
Great. Okay, let's go to commissioner comments. Commissioner Sage, would you like to comment?
Yes. First of all, I, like the two other commissioners have already addressed the issue, really do like the overall design as to, and the look. I think it's much improved over what the original layout was. The I like the, and hope you can retain those, the business mixes. I happen to be a tool junkie, so I like a hardware store. Also happen to be a gardener, so I like the gardener store, the garden area. So I think it fills a need, especially since we have lost several of those services here in the area recently. I like the mix of the tenants. Bringing in a dance studio into this seems to be a good use of that available space in the rear rather than simply leaving it empty or trying to have a retail store fill in that area. My concern, of course, would be about appropriate signage so people will be able to find you. I like the 800 square foot pad proposal. That seems to be a good idea, especially with the ADA access off the streets into that. I think that's well thought out. Then when I first looked at that, the first question that hit my mind was, well, why can't we just extend that walkway, ADA walkway, all the way up to the buildings through the parking lot somewheres? And I guess that would still be a thought that I would, you know, ask you to consider if that's possible. All in all, I think it's a, you know, well-designed project. I happen to live in the neighborhood. It would be something I would feel very comfortable with as a neighbor. So I am all for this.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Commissioner Ridley, would you like to go next?
I agree with my fellow commissioners. I think the project is it definitely improves the area, you know, with both economically and then visibly. I think it's a good thing, and I do like the idea of putting the dance studio in the back. I think that's a great use. I used to work at the Clark Center, so I remember you guys well, and you do great things for the community, so I think that's a really good idea.
Commissioner Montes.
I'm in support of this project as well.
Great. I'd just like to say a couple of things. First of all, my 18-year-old son, who's now he's on the waiting list to go to the Performing Arts Academy in Santa Maria, PCPA. It's kind of his life right now. He's been 4 years at AG High at every musical, and He would love to be involved. If I said anything negative about this, he'd be really upset. So on a bigger note, you know, I've looked at this site for a long time since we moved here, and it's one of those things that crosses your mind as far as parking, especially when you deal with a lot of issues of parking in the village, and everybody's, you know, we need more parking, and you never really realize what the other side of that coin is that when there's too much parking for a site, and especially when it's done in a stark way where it's just this giant, somebody's called it the sea of parking. So I really like the idea of having the drive-through in the front. Breaks that up. And when you think about what a parking stall makes for the city, sure, when a project is underparked, we certainly don't want people parking outside of the project. And that's probably never been the case for this particular project. It's been so overparked, but that's wasted land that never brings any revenue for not only applicants and business owners, but also for city tax revenue as well. So I think it's great architecturally. It's great in thought, and I think it'll be great in its final purpose. I'm glad that we've, even though, you know, the same project comes back three times, sometimes it comes back the third time not as good. This time it's come back the third time better. So congratulations to you guys. And I'm in support. As far as the sign goes, I think 32 feet matching the existing is great. When it went down to 20 and it was at 50, everybody went, But seeing that existing sign, I went out and measured it to myself just to make sure, and it would look almost silly to have this bigger sign for actually really almost a smaller plaza, and then have a smaller sign for a bigger plaza. So, in support of the 32 feet, and I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, can we get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Montes?
Yes.
Commissioner Maravilla?
Yes.
Commissioner Sage?
Yes.
And Commissioner Shiro?
Yes. Motion carries 4-0. All right.
And Vice Chair Shiro, if I may. So that motion was a motion to adopt the prepared resolution for approval of the project, correct?
Thank you, yes.
All right. Great. We'll give Chair Martin, a second to get back here. You stayed.
Very good. Thank you very much. Next item, non-public hearing items. There are none. And then next is item 10. There are two administrative decisions that are included on tonight's agenda. Are there any questions from the commissioners to staff on either one of these items?
No.
Seeing none, we'll move on. Are there any kind of communications that any of the commissioners would like to share tonight before we close the meeting?
No, thank you.
None and none. Any staff communications for tonight's meeting?
I have several.
Okay. Please.
Did you see how excited I got about that, too?
See how that cleared the room, too?
No. Gosh. I can't remember if we previously notified the commission about the city council's approval of allocation of the Jim Guthrie Community Service Grant Program funds. But I'll give you a quick overview. The Jim Guthrie Community Service Grant Program is a program set up by the City Council. It's $20,000 each year to give to community service groups for different projects throughout the community. There's an application period where different groups submit their applications, request different amounts of funding. We set up a review panel with one member of each of our different committees and commissions. This year, Commissioner Shiro was the Planning Commission's representative. Coincidentally, we also used Commissioner Sage in his former role as a Historic Resources Committee member because we needed folks to sit on the panel. So They poured through. We received 10 applications. The total was $30,000 requested. We only had 20. And they went through all of them, recommended allocations based on different projects. That went to the council at the beginning of March, March 13th, and the council made those allocations with slight modification to one of them. But overall, that information is on the City Council's agenda from March 13th, so if you are interested, it's there and you can go take a look at it. We'll be kind of revising the program a little bit moving forward this next year in terms of making sure we have good community representation on that review panel. So wanted to bring that to the Commission's attention. Also, I can't remember if we mentioned this at the last meeting. We have a new website redesign that was just recently done. So I'll use that as my plug to remind everyone in the community, please sign up to be notified of when things are happening in the community. It can be news flash alerts, emergency alerts. It could be when agendas are posted, so you can stay in the know on what's happening, as we did this evening. We have currently, you may have heard, a project in our neighboring jurisdiction that's receiving a lot of attention. We have a notify me feature on that specific project on our website as well. So if you are interested in that project, you can specifically sign up to be notified when anything about that project happens. So wanted to bring that to your attention. Last week's City Council meeting, the City Council selected an alternative for the Briscoe Road interchange. They selected alternative 4C, which is the roundabout alternative. That information is on the city's website if you'd like more information about that. On the 20th of April is the annual egg hunt for the children. That's at 10 a.m. at Elm Street Park. It's rain or shine, so if you want to bring your kids down for egg hunt at Elm Street Park, 10 o'clock on the 20th. I did receive an email from our deputy city clerk about the Central Coast Blue project. There is one remaining opportunity for folks to tour that site. So if any of the commissioners would like more information about that, please let me know and I'll forward that information to you. And then the last thing I wanted to mention, the project that the Planning Commission reviewed at the last meeting, that appeal period has ended and no appeal was filed, so that approval is final. So that's all staff's communications this evening.
Mr. Downing, I have a question. You mentioned that you wanted to encourage residents to sign up for alerts. I'm assuming they would go to the new website to do that?
That's arroyogrande.org.
Okay, and I want to give you a chance to plug this weekend's event. We Heart.
Oh,
AG.
I wasn't okay. So there's a group of community volunteers who this is the second annual community service event. It's called We Heart AG. It's a very short. It's on Sunday the 7th from 8 to noon. Just 4 hours of giving back to your community. You can go to weheartag.com. There's a sign up link. You can click the link and look at all the different jobs that we need roster spots filled for. There's anything from picking up trash to helping weed the Campo Rio Grande. There's just a lot of really good opportunities to give back to your community if anybody's interested in that. So weheartag.com.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you very much. With that, we've reached the end of the agenda. This meeting is hereby adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.